RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbrad, boys and girls, and me, Eric Wiltshire, in the glorious town of Potbrad, in the high Tatras, where there's snow all over the mountains. Lee Banks in the UK, Mark Gander, the founder of the consumer action group in Gay Paris. And just to recap on things, if you're listening to part one, which you should have been doing, if not, why not, the Prince's Trust Games Jam that's being held in Bedfordshire University. If you want to find out more details about that, do go to the Prince's Trust website. We'll try and put some links up on our site for you as well, and on Facebook and things like that, so you'll be able to find out more there. I don't fully get this one. Iran has got the ump now about the Olympic logo.
Well, I know, it's a bit bizarre, isn't it? And it really is. To me, this is just political mongering. This is just jumping on the bandwagon of all the horrors and tragedies that are going on in that
part of the
world.
Can we cut out the first two paragraphs and get to the third one? So what's the problem?
Well, all it is, you cheeky monkey. Anyway, right? Oh, you've put me off now. Zion, right? Z-I-O-N. They think that the logo that says 2012 looks like Zion.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look like Zion at all. I mean, it's complete nonsense. I mean, it looks like two things. First of all, it looks as if somebody took my pen and then flicked ink all over the place. And then the second thing is that if you stand back a bit, it actually looks like the weather forecast for the 25th of July, 2012. And it will be cloudy, there will be lightning, and there shall be some snow and some hail, folks.
I take it you like the logo for 2012 then, Mark.
And it cost £400,000.
Oh, my word.
Unbelievable.
So does Iran get Pillock of the Week award then?
I think that is the best thing we can do. This logo is going to go out on 10,000 different items that are going to raise £80 million towards the cost of the Olympics. And they're moaning because they think it looks like Zion. It's even if it did, it says 2012.
Unbelievable. And staying with the Olympics, apparently, allegedly rumoured, the swimming pool in Portsmouth, which has cost £5 million, has been built 2 inches too small.
Absolutely. That's exactly the way things go, isn't it? When I started this odyssey of rebuilding my house, right? This is not a nasty comment. I invited a Polish builder around, and he came in. He says, I know good, but I quick. I got an English builder around, and they say, we're very slow, we're very expensive, but we do a good job. And actually, it's quite an artistic project. So the fact that the Olympic pool's 2 inches too short doesn't really matter. Well, it does, because they've just spent £5 million on it and they can't use it.
Well, I mean, isn't it quite amazing, really? I mean, you imagine when anything that's long, I mean, 2 minutes, 2 inches shorter shouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, but they're going at such a speed and they know when they're about to turn, they'll all smash their heads in on the end of the bath.
Well, actually, yeah. It's like the swimming pool near us, just across the road in Aqua City. They can't call it an Olympic pool because apparently it's not quite deep enough. It's 50 metres long, but it's a couple of inches too short in the depth, so it can't be an Olympic. It all gets a bit bloody silly, doesn't it?
What are they going to do with this pool? Are they really going to not use it? I mean,
I don't know if they could use it. Obviously, they could use it for the hoi polloi, for the proletariat. But they can't use it for posh people like Olympic athletes.
Do you know, they just sort of cut the end off and extend it by two?
Exactly.
Why don't you get your builder in and just
fix it?
And if you want it done quick, get a Polish builder in.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Racist.
Do you know what? I've just suddenly thought, Mark, you're going to have to back me up on this. Isn't Mr. Banks sounding rather snobby this week?
La-di-da, Mr. Banks.
Well, no, reverse. He's sounding like a reverse snob this week, I'm sure of it.
And I suppose what it is, when you think I was lucky enough to actually retire from school, and I've never really had a proper job ever since. And so
Thank you! He just said he's never had a proper job, and he spent half his life as a journalist.
It's calling! It was like being a priest. A priest doesn't say that it's a proper job. It's a calling from a higher... from heaven and everything.
Let's get on to something so important. The world will not sleep without it. According to bookmakers, which are the betting shops or whatever you want to call them where you are in the world, it looks like the Irish crew of Jedward, they'd get Pillock of the Week award just too often.
I think they're really funny.
Yeah, they're about as funny as watching grass grow.
They're about the standard of the Eurovision.
No.
Remember when we did the Eurovision Song Contest?
Yes, we might do that this year again. Might do.
Yeah, all right.
We'll do that. Where we commentated on Audio Boo. So apparently Jedward won't be the top twins at this year's Eurovision because the Slovak pair, Daniela and Veronica, are set to get the old adrenaline going or the pulses racing in Germany on May the 14th. Have you seen them yet, boys?
No. I've seen them.
Daniela and Veronica. Oh, sorry, look, the other half might be listening.
Nice indeed.
Oh, flipping heck.
This is disgusting.
What is?
We can't outline this. We can't talk about two young ladies like that. And if you noticed, I wonder what that means to the Libyans. T-W-I-I-N-S.
Twins.
Twins, yeah, I bet. Can we get something out of that?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, yes, yes.
Screw up the Eurovision Song Contest.
Mark, I can only encourage you to look at Daniela and Veronica, Eurovision SK, and watch the video, but not in the company of your other half.
No.
No, you, sorry, I'm crazy in trying to look at them on the internet at this moment. I can't find any pictures of them at all.
Actually, all joking apart, their song's not that bad either, which is interesting.
I'm still alive.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, I'm still alive.
Are you?
Yeah, you could talk to me as well.
Why? Why?
No, see, it was just a thought I had. You don't have to pursue it.
I'm not going to. So anyway, we wish the Slovak pair all the very best. I can't wait to see how Germans react to Jedward's stupid haircut.
Well, I've got my hair like them now. That's how I wear my hair.
Lee, I've got a picture on the screen of you in front of me. That is not how you wear your hair.
It does. Why? Is my camera on? Can you see me?
Notwithstanding the fact that your hair is going slightly backwards.
You little liar! That is such an insult! My hair is absolutely 100% not going backwards. I have the biggest hair in the world!
Yeah, it's all down his back, boys and girls.
I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take a photograph of it and put it on the site!
Anyway, Mark and I won't worry about that because we don't have that problem at all, do we, Mark?
Well, no,
oh, blimey! Oh!
What?
Just me. Oh, I've just found the photograph, sorry.
But you mean you just found Daniela and Veronica?
Yes, I think I have.
Oh,
God, I tell you, this show's like Care in the Community.
Oh, blimey!
Oh, blimey!
Quick sweet tea, quickly.
Cold chow, cold chow. Let's bring it back.
Like a Parisian dimmer switch, on and off.
Right, coming back down to earth very quickly. I'll do the Apple story next. Apparently, excuse me, if I fall asleep during this, dear listener, don't worry too much about it. Apple have launched their second generation of iPad tablet computers at an event in San Francisco. Do we care?
No.
Not really.
No. But we do wish Mr. Steve Jobs all the best, because he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2004, and he's been not looking a well bunny. So I take my hat off to the chief executive for getting out of his medical bed and coming up there and sort of speaking about it. I hope it made him feel better. But I'm sorry, Mr. Jobs. I haven't got room in my loft for Apple boxes in plastic bags.
Yeah.
No.
This is like technological buckwheat floating across the airwaves.
I mean, have you guys actually played with an iPad?
Yes.
It's personal.
Sorry?
What?
That's personal?
Yes. That's personal.
It's not...
weird you are.
Mark, what did you think of the iPad?
Well, I thought it was a bit boring, really. I've been playing with them in the shops a bit, but I don't think I'd particularly go out and buy one.
No,
and I think
still
this
can't
new
see
one, isn't it, just rather the same, except it's got cameras or something on it.
Got two cameras on it and stuff. And I have to be honest.
I like the idea of a tablet, and I'm quite sure that I'll be getting one in the next 2-3 years, but I don't think it's a mature product yet.
No,
have
I
you
don't.
Ever thought about conjugating iPads? So you got iPad, U-pad, they-pad?
I'm just waiting for Apple to bring out the iBroom. I'm sure they'd buy it. I'm sure that
I'll shove it up and do that.
Yeah. But I have to say my preference, if you were going to buy something like that, I would genuinely buy a netbook. Much cheaper, much better, and can do lots more goodies for you.
Excuse me.
That's just my personal opinion. Stick 'em up, Lee.
Yeah, well, now, actually, joking apart, on the face of it, it sounds quite a funny story, but it ain't a funny story at all. Mm-hmm. There's an 11-year-old boy from a place called Arvada in whatever, Colorado. And he's got attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And part of his therapy is that his therapists have told him to draw stick people, because he's not an artist, he's not good at it, but say, well, just draw what you see in your mind and what you're thinking of, and that apparently sort of...
So you, he's him, a, I was yeah. painting yeah. matchstock men and matchstock cats and dogs.
I wondered which of you'd do that.
It got to number one in the UK, so embarrassing.
My daughter actually sang in the background to that. She was at that school, whatever it's called, I've forgotten now.
Was she really? Poor yeah. her.
She's a crap singer. Anyway, yeah, so this lad... 11 years old, right?
Yeah.
Drew a picture of himself threatening some of his fellow children, you know, pupils, mm-hmm. and the teacher mm-hmm. with a gun.
Right.
But it was a stick picture. You know, we all used to draw cowboys and Indians when we were younger and later on in the war.
You did
young
what?
People. Hey?
You drew what?
You used to draw cowboys and Indians, didn't you, holding guns and things
no,
like
that? No, I used to draw circuit diagrams.
Sad man.
yes.
Anyway,
let me just finish this. He was reported. The school reported him, and an 11-year-old lad mm-hmm. was handcuffed and taken down to the police station for drawing these stickers.
Oh, God, Benny. It does make you wonder, doesn't it?
There's a prize we can award to the Arvada police here for, you know, good community policing. Yes. This is another boy that you've managed to win over to the establishment. Well done, the Arvada police.
Yeah, like marvellous.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Firmness with fairness with kids.
This is going to get Mark's blood boiling. Insurance premiums are to change after an EU ruling.
Well, I mean, that seems a bit extraordinary, doesn't it? I mean, you know, this really, I suppose, is a sort of a legitimated political correctness. And I have to say that if the figures simply show that women are a lower risk, then I don't see why they should get lower premiums. But, of course, the other thing is...
Run that by me again, because I think I got that wrong.
I think I got that wrong as well, but it's quite interesting.
If all these sort of, you know, the actuarial calculations show that women are a lower risk
yeah.
at driving, mm-hmm. then they ought to have lower insurance policies.
I don't think you said that the first time round. I think it came out wrong.
Okay, but also, there is a
and
point.
I don't see anything wrong with that. And as a male driver person, you know, I don't feel particularly offended or disadvantaged by that. What I do feel disadvantaged by, of course, is the fact that this then will give an opportunity to insurance companies to make a bigger profit.
Yes.
On the backs of female insurance premiums. And, of course, will that be reflected in lower prices for the boys?
No.
Never.
But I have to be honest and say, I genuinely do, that having experienced more recently two ladies that drive and me, mm-hmm. and if I had to say who was the safest out of them, it's not going to be me.
Why?
Because I drive too fast.
Well, slow down and you'll be really safe.
Well, maybe so, but I think that the issue is that boys don't grow up, the toys just get bigger.
I don't accept for one second that women are better drivers than men, honestly.
Right.
Do you really accept that women
well,
are better
I don't think necessarily you can talk about sort of a better in terms of being skilled.
Mm.
And I think maybe skills are equal. I think it's in terms of caution and prudence and risk taking.
Yeah, I've never seen
women's attitudes.
Nah, women are terrible drivers. It's an old adage, but it's one
Hang
of
on, that's my job normally.
Well, I'm just ducking. Can we just give email? Can we give Lee Banks' email address there very quickly, please? Anybody wants to complain?
Nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. There's a new insurance company for women, isn't there? Called Sheila Squeals.
Yeah. Let's stay with the women for a minute, because apparently we did a little story last week about ice cream.
Oh, no.
Which was being made from the milk of mummies. Unfortunately, the government... the council have decided they're going to investigate about it, so they've made a little bit of a boo-boo over this ice cream made from mummy's milk.
Haven't they stopped it? I thought they banned it.
They have now, yeah. They're going to do some...
I think that they actually took it all away for testing.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know what their testing routine is. I don't know if it includes tasting the stuff, but... And of course, maybe they'll have to examine the source as well. I'm quite sure. I mean, you would want to
Does it come out of like a machine? It's
no, it comes straight from the source, like spring water.
No, you're right, Lee. The actual ice cream itself comes from a machine, yes.
Does it?
Yes.
It's plugged onto the other end of the machine. Have you been in a dairy recently?
Now, apparently the mums express the milk, which is then deposited with the ice cream maker person, who called it Baby Gaga. It has a vanilla and lemon-scented essence with it as well. And it's then churned like normal ice cream is made. So it's from a ice cream maker, and then you buy your little thingy and you lick your ice cream and taste the milk.
But the Gaga, actually, of course, it might be through Lady Gaga, but also there's the Gaggia ice cream maker, isn't there?
Of course there is. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But apparently they have taken it away for testing to make sure that the milk that Mummy's using to feed the children is not seriously going to damage your health.
There was something out on tweet which was quite relevant. Actually, it said all milk. It should be screened. If it's bad for ice cream, then mother's milk's bad for babies. Close all London's milk banks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I think, though, we could stay with this sort of area a little bit for a minute. I think we can.
Always a pleasure, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Because apparently there's a bit of a Barney in the Northwestern University in the USA. Because one of the lecturers there actually did a whole show about sex toys.
Oh, right, I know.
Which involved a young lady being there and exhibiting that which you do with one of these toys.
Did she exhibit the toy?
She was an accompanied young lady, wasn't she?
Yes.
Accompanied? What, she had a singer with her?
Oh, dear. And the trouble with this story is I don't know where to go with it anymore now.
How can you say what, Eric?
What?
Move on.
No. Anyway, apparently 100 students observed what was going on at a lecture session.
But what was going on?
Well, it was a serious piece of academic study.
Up and wave it in the air?
No, she did other things with it.
Oh no, Eric.
And apparently,
the tone of this show just disappeared.
And one of the big cheeses said it represented extremely poor judgment on the part of our faculty member. Oh well, trouble the disappointed. Nobody can do it.
Sorry, the penny's just dropped.
Yeah, thank you. It's all right. It'll catch up.
What it meant when I said it.
And apparently, the big cheese also said, "I simply do not believe this was appropriate, necessary, or in keeping with Northwestern University's academic mission." No, right. No. It just goes to show, doesn't it? As was on the news for other reasons, there's a lot of stuff taught in universities that ain't no good for nothing. And I think that's one of them as well. But I'm sure the young lady got a lovely fee for it.
Fee?
Apparently the sex toy would look like a chainsaw, but apparently with a... Forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm slightly concerned about this next story, which is in the same vein. Oh, no, that didn't come out right either. Because apparently...
Not with a chainsaw.
Oh, dear. Apparently, Penthouse Television, which is a spin-off from Penthouse Magazine, which you all know is on the top shelf of most bookstalls and shops and stuff like that, is about to start broadcasting on the Astra satellite. No problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with that.
Not
fine.
At all.
None whatsoever. If it's encrypted and scrambled so kids can't watch it, fair play to you. If you want to subscribe to those sort of services, good luck to you. Yeah. However, this one is deeply... Hang on, big deep breath.
I have something to tell you about.
Right. This one is deeply concerning, as it's going to be broadcast in 3D.
It'll knock your eyes out, mate. I tell you.
This is not double D, then.
No, this is 3D.
Triple D.
Oh,
triple D, right, okay.
My word. And apparently the boss of the 3D thingy. So we're thrilled to be teaming up with SES Astra for the launch of the first adult 3D channel in the world, said the CEO of Penthouse, Mr. Mark Bell.
Long live 3D biffers!
Unfortunately, it's not available on a satellite that's used in the UK. Nor is it on a satellite typically used in Germany. Oh. But it is on a satellite typically used in Slovakia. I love Slovakia.
What time does the aeroplane leave?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a little story to tell you about this.
Oh, dear. Yeah, go on.
You know, like Derek J, like Pencil, I think it's a brilliant idea. 3D biffers, 3D, everything's brilliant. But you remember Derek Jameson?
Yeah, I'm not sure about everything being 3D. I might have to duck out the way.
Yeah. I can't do that. I was going somewhere terrible then. I told you not to go down this night. Anyway, yeah, but Derek Jameson, if you remember, was the man who introduced bingo to the UK's national press, yeah?
Yes.
And Penthouse are bringing out 3D biffers. Well, in 1991 or something like that, Lee G. Banks made a proposal that page 3, the pictures on page 3, you know what page 3 are famous for?
Yes, boobies.
Yeah. Yes, and the page 3 should be made out of really thin layers of ham.
Right.
Yeah, so it becomes tactile, and it represents the real thing. It's like 3D on there, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. No.
It wasn't accepted.
I'm not surprised, somehow or other. So anyway, if you are interested in watching this particular 3D channel, it'll be broadcasting via the Astra satellite at 23.5 degrees east, which is not the UK. It's the one where Skylink is, Skylink for Slovakia, from 11 p.m. till 5 a.m. Central European time.
But of course you need a 3D television and the relevant glasses to use it.
Well, it might not be the glasses one, you see.
No, it might not be glasses, because if you think now, they can actually manifest 3D people in your lounge, can't they?
Well, that's true. It's going
to be very, very bad for your eyes.
Well,
we go to university.
I think we should move on.
Yes.
Little serious story here, which makes me giggle as well, as we get very close to the end of part two, as it goes. Mazda in the USA have recalled 65,000 cars in North and Central America because of concerns over spiders.
I know, I think this is incredible. What a tangled web we weave.
Oh, no!
What?
No! Not
you
that cliche!
You did singing Matchstick Men and Matchstick Cats and Dogs.
Dealers have been told to check for cracks.
Not at university, though.
No. Clean out any webs and install a spring in the line to keep out spiders. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
What I want to know is, how come the yellow sack spider picks on Mazdas?
And why yellow sack? I mean, why not money spiders or black widows or something like that?
Because the money spiders could afford to pay for them.
Yes, I suppose they could, yes. Well, that's right.
Mr. Jeremy Barnes from Mazda joked and said, perhaps yellow sack spiders like to go zoom, zoom. Oh, very droll.
I tell you, get him on the show. Get him on the show. That's a good enough joke for him.
Well, and we're going to squeeze them all in if we can, boys and girls. Lee's question...
I've got stuff on my... Where are we going now?
Up one. Lee's question that he posed was, why are we an alien nation? I have the answer to this. Why the UK is an alien nation. Mark is in Paris... I'm in Slovakia. Lee Banks is in the UK. Blame him.
And the reason you don't see any aliens around the world is because they all live here with me.
Exactly.
That was terrible. I just realised what I said.
You nana. Do you believe in UFOs?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I've got to hold my hands up and say, yes, I 100% categorically believe in UFOs, because UFOs means unidentified flying objects, and there are certainly unidentified flying objects, whether they're filled with little green men and little green ladies, of course. And I wonder if little green ladies get cheaper insurance on their spaceship than the little green men do.
Mark?
Well, I really don't know. Were UFOs?
Yes.
Well, exactly like... I've really no idea if it's got anything to do with spacecraft. But, I mean, I'm very impressed with the fact that these are reports of mysterious flights from... In fact, you say here, reports of mysterious lights from US servicemen. Does this mean the US servicemen were producing the lights? But other than that... Certainly in the 1970s, I used to do a lot of hitchhiking in Germany, and I was often picked up by a US serviceman there, very often in these old VW buses that used to ride all over the place. And I tell you, they were often smoking all sorts of very, very unusual substances, and I think it's sort of a hangover from Vietnam.
Really.
It doesn't surprise me that all these kind of reports are coming from US servicemen, because I think
but
that...
They're not. They're all coming... These are
They're all coming from Lee!
They're all coming from me. Yeah. No, these are all the intelligence papers that have been released by the government, aren't they? And
I think they're reports by US servicemen, aren't they?
But it's bigger than that. The whole gamut of UFO intelligence has been revealed by the British government, which is a good thing. UFOs are a bit of a it's like the Loch Ness monster, isn't it? But there is something behind UFOs and there is something behind the Loch Ness Monster. And the beauty of it, this is why I hunt ghosts, because I'd like to know what the reality of it is.
Indeed. Let's just do a quick recap for you, boys and girls. Very important story at the end of part one this week. British Game Jam is taking place at the end of March. The proceeds from it, as you heard if you were listening to part one, are going to the Prince's Trust. I'd like to give you a couple of websites that you can go to. One is www.traintogame.com, or you can go to the Prince's Trust, which is a .org. Equally, it's going to our website as well. To find out more about the event, what's taking place, and how to be part of it. And the good news is that if it gets all the people in, it will raise hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds for the Prince's Trust, which is an amazing project, because that in turn then helps by giving the money back to youngsters to train for new jobs, to do all sorts of wonderful projects and property projects and all sorts of wonderful things that the Princess Trust does. So if you haven't written it down yet, www.traintogame.com, or go to the Princess Trust website. You'll find all the details there. You'll be able to find out what Dave Sharp was talking about earlier. It's being held in the University of Bedfordshire in the Luton campus at the end of this month. And if you can go along and support them and the Princess Trust, it'll be absolutely fabulous, and we'll love you to bits, won't we?
Very good course.
Yes. Very good course. So it's time to say goodbye, and we're going to do a round robin this week. Mark, over to you for your biggest goodbye on the planet.
Well, goodbye, everybody. I'm really looking so much to... I'm mixing this up, aren't I? Goodbye, everybody.
That's good. That's good. Lee?
I really don't know what to say now. Goodbye, everybody. I love you all.
And from me, Eric Wiltshire, that was Postcard from Pop Brad for another week. Whatever channel you've been listening to it on, we'll be back same time next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.